We're going to do a little bit of a shorter 15 minutes of Torah Rav Shechter. Today we're going to finish up Siman Yud David in Eretz HaTzvi. So if you recall from the last couple of weeks, we were discussing, there is this principle in Halacha called Ein Davar Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim, that you always need two Edim for a Davar Sheva Erva. The question is, how do you define exactly what is a Davar Sheva Erva? You see, that's different than other halachas, because normally, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin, we discussed. You come home and your mom made the dinner, and she insists that it's kosher. But how do you know that you can trust her if you don't have two Eidim, that it is in fact kosher? So the halacha is that you can trust her that it's kosher, because Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. When it comes to a Davar Sheva Erva, I'm going to be Masari Kiddushin at a wedding today, Be'ezras Hashem. A guy called me on Wednesday night that is Masari Kiddushin cancelled, so I'm the replacement. So we're going to need two Eidim. We're going to need two Eidim at the Kiddushin. What makes Kiddushin the Davar Sheva Erva versus the kashrus of your dinner only being Eidach Nem Bisurin? So we had two possibilities. One possibility was that a Davar Sheva Erva is defined by a chalos on the gavra, that the person now has a new status. It's not just about, is this mutter, is this asur? There's a status change. What does it mean, a status change? This woman used to be just a woman, now she's an eshes ish. It's a status, something changed about, or this woman used to be an eshes ish, now she's a grusha, right? That's a change in status. That's how you define Davar Sheva Erva. The other possibility is that no, Davar Sheva Erva is not defined by change in status, but by the creation or dissolving of Ishus. Either when Ishus is created, marriage is created, or marriage is dissolved. And that's what got us into the whole discussion. Yeah, what about Chalitza? Does Chalitza create or dissolve does it dissolve Ishus? Because it dissolves a Zika. And a Zika is like a partial Ishus. So we got into a whole discussion about partial Ishus, that we always thought our whole lives that a person is either married or not married. And then we introduced ourselves to this concept that a person might be partially married, right? They're partially married in the sense that they're usher to the rest of the world, right? Like a Yavam Lashuk, usher to the rest of the world, but not married enough to be Muteres Labaila, right? So that's the discussion that we've had till this point. Now, how many of you have learned Maseches Makos in your life? Good. So you're all ready for this. The Gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Makos tells us that talks about Edom Zomim. So it's very interesting because the Mishnah starts out with Ketzer Edom Nasim Zomim. How do Edom become Edom Zomim? And what does the Mishnah say? How do Edom become Edom Zomim? What? Ah, so they're made that this person is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Say, Einom, we don't say, Nas is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtav. Rather, you look in our brain. So the Gemara already right away asks the question, that's not how Edom Zomim normally works. Edom Zomim normally works where two Edom say something that they can actually get Kasher Zomim. They can actually get what they were trying to give to the other guy. That's what Edom Zomim normally is. So Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is not a normal case of Edom Zomim. But be that as it may, the Mishnah applies the din of Hazama. They can be Mazim Edom when they are made that someone is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Very simple question. What does it mean to be Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza? What halachic status does that have? A person's mother is a Grusha, means that what? That he's by definition not a Kohen, right? Even if his father's a Kohen, if his mother was a Grusha, so a Kohen and a Grusha, the product is not a Kohen, is a Chalam. Or a Ben Chalutza and a Kohen, the product is a Chalam. How exactly does that Eidos work? I am made that this guy's Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. Why? Because I have a feeling? I smell Ben Grusha on him? Like, what does that mean? How does one say Eidos that someone is a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza? So Rashi over there says, what does it mean, Eidos? That they're made Shenizgar She'imo Kodem Shenolad Zeh. That they know the mother was divorced before this kid was born. So they saw a gerushin that happened with the mother before this child was born. Says the Me'iri, why do you need to say that? No, you know what it means that they know that he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? They heard the father once say about him that he's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. They don't have to know about the mother's actual divorce. They're made that the father once said that this kid is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So says the Pnei Yeshua, what forced Rashi into saying that the Eidos had to have been about the mother's actual divorce and not about just that they know that the kid's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? So to answer that question that the Pnei Yeshua asks on Rashi, why does Rashi have to say that they knew about the mother's divorce? Rav Shechter points to Yisod of the Nesivos. The Nesivos of Mishpat in the end of Hilchos Eidos points out that Parshas Hazama, the whole idea of making Edom Zomim, only applies to the kind of Eidos that requires two Edom. That you need two Edom Kshedim. By Eidach Adam Bisurim, we don't say Azama. Right? Let's say you come home from yeshiva and your mom made you dinner. And she says, yeah, I promise it's kosher. And then two Edom come and say, wait a second, mom, Imanu Yisim, you were with us at, on Broadway today watching a play all day. You have no idea if this dinner is kosher. So she does not become an Eid Zomim, right? There's no Parshas Hazama on Eidach Adam Bisurim. The whole idea of Hazama is only when you need Shnei Edom. So how is it that there ever is Eidos, that there ever is Hazama on Eidos of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Must be that Eidos of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is considered a Davar Shebi'erva, right? That Eidos of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is not like an Eidach Adam Bisurim, it's a Davar Shebi'erva situation. So that could be what bothered Rashi. How do we define what's called a Davar Shebi'erva? So we have two possibilities. If Davar Shebi'erva means when there is a status issue, so then yeah, you could be made. This guy's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. That is a status. He is a Cholol, and that's a Davar Shebi'erva. But what if you hold like the other sheet? That Davar Shebi'erva is defined as Eidos on the creation of or dissolving of marriage. Being made, this guy's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, it's not about anybody's marriage. It's about him, it's about his status. How can you call that a Davar Shebi'erva if you hold like that group of Achronim, that the definition of Davar Shebi'erva is the creation of or dissolving of marriage? How do you call that a Davar Shebi'erva? So says Rav Shechter, that's what was bothering Rashi. Rashi holds Davar Shebi'erva is defined as creation of or dissolving of marriage. How could Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza then be a Davar Shebi'erva, which requires two Edom and therefore can be subject to Azama? It must be that the Eidos that someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is about an actual gerushin. It's about a divorce. That you're made that the mother got divorced. If you're just made, I heard the father call the kid a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, it's not enough. That, you don't need Shnei Edom for that. That's not a Davar Shebi'erva. And even though the purpose of your Eidos, when you say that I know the mother got divorced before this kid was born, the purpose of the Eidos is to label him a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, but the content of your Eidos is about a divorce. And what defines Davar Shebi'erva is not the purpose of your Eidos, but the content of your Eidos. What are you actually saying? And with that, you could understand very well how Rashi would answer Tosis' Kasha. If you learn Makas, you remember this Kasha probably. Tosis asked the Kasha on the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah give an example? They want to give an example where you can't do Kasha Zamim to the guy. I can't make this guy Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtav, right? Instead of the Edom. So you can't do Azam on the guy. Why do they give a case of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? Why not give a case of Mamzer? You testify this fellow's a Mamzer. And you can't say, let's make him a Mamzer Tachtav for the same reasons. Because what are you going to do with his kids? His kids are going to be a Mamzer too? They didn't do anything. Lo v'lo l'zaro. What, you're not going to make his kids a Mamzer? But you have to do Kasher Zom L'Asas L'Ach V'Leka. You're not going to have. So why not give the example of Mamzer? So according to this, you understand very well. Because Mamzer is not a good example. Mamzer is about a chalos of someone's status. Rashi holds that what defines Davar Shebi'erva and therefore what becomes subject to Hazama is only when the Eidos is about a marriage or a divorce. Mamzer is not about a marriage or a divorce, it's about someone's status. So it can only work by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. And the Mi'iri must hold that even when you're just meyu that a person is a chalo on his status, like that group of Achronim, Kiveger, Machne Ephraim, that any Eidos that's nogea to a chalos shame on the Gavra is automatically considered Davar Shebi'erva. So the Eidos on Mamzerus would require Shnei Edom also. And therefore the Mi'iri would agree with Tosos that it's a Kasha, why we don't mention Mamzerus. Now the only loose end that needs to be tied up still is that there is a Machlokas Abaye and Rava, whether you need Shnei Edom to testify that someone's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, or it's good enough to have Eid Echad. The Mishnah Makos tells us, though, that there's such a thing as hazama on Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. But didn't we say the Yisod of the Nesivos, hazama only applies to those things that you need Shnei Edim for? So how could it be that Abaye is going to say, oh no, you only need one aid to verify that someone's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza against the Beferish of Mishnah Makos? The Mishnah Makos, first Mishnah Makos, that Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza is subject to hazama, and the Yisod is only that which you need Shnei Edim for is subject to hazama. So Rav Shechter suggests that maybe the Machlokas Abaye and Rava is not about Eidus of a Ben Grusha. The Machlokas Abaye and Rava is about Eidus of a Ben Chalutza. The Mishnah Makos is not about Ben Grusha uben Chalutza. It uses that term because we always put those together, but it's really only about Ben Grusha. Meaning, if you're going to say that what makes Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza something that requires Shnei Edim and therefore subject to Hazama is that it's a Dover Shebe'erva. And Dover Shebe'erva is defined by Eidos about the creation of or dissolving of marriage. Yet Ben Grusha, to say that the mother had a Gerushin, that's Dover Shebe'erva. But to say that she once had Chalitza, that's not the dissolving of a real marriage, that's dissolving of what? Half a marriage. Half a marriage, right? Chalitza, she was Zagwit, it's only half a marriage. That's the Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Do you need Shnei Edim about Chalitza? Because if you hold the Dover Shebe'erva is defined as the dissolving of a marriage, does Chalitza count? Chalitza is dissolving of a Miktsas marriage, not a whole marriage. That's the whole Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye would say, that's not marriage. Rava would say, it's enough marriage that you would require. It's an Ishus L'chatzoyin, but that Ishus L'chatzoyin, Zika, which is an Ishus L'chatzoyin, is enough of a Hafka'as Ishus to be called the Dover Shev Erva, and therefore require Shnei Edim. And that's the end of Simin Yud Dalit. Okay.